The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
We start hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. It's going to be a lot like hour one, and every day we talk college football because we all love college football, especially in the South. If you look at the geographic footprint we got here, oh gosh, starting Central Florida, head up the Atlantic Coast, Lexington, over through Baton Rouge, Louisiana, just giant circle there. Nine states, 51 sticks every single day. That is what we do. Certainly appreciate Connor O'Gara from Saturday Down South coming on, dealing with his – I went to his Twitter page, and it's not him. And apparently hacked, and there's a crypto coin something or other. And I'm telling you, there was a Jamaican lottery tweet that just – submit here or the $500 security fee. Yes, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, I mean, it sounded like he had to battle the elements. I mean,
oh my
because
gosh.
Every other word he was speaking to you, it sounded like there was a monster in the background with that thunderclap.
Yeah, and he's right. He's like, we're inland, dude. I mean, they're 45 minutes from the coast. And it was an eventful interview. So if you go to thepodcastpart.com and you click subscribe, it just shows up every single day. So you can listen live on the radio, and that's awesome. If there's a day where you don't, it'll just show up. So you don't have to ever miss anything like the lightning and thunder and everything else going on with Connor as we talk to SEC football. Mike Morgan from the SEC Network will be bouncing in about 10 minutes. And bottom of the hour, Jake Rowe from 24/7 talking Georgia football right now. We'll get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Headline, Georgia receiver transfers to Auburn. That would be Demetrius Robertson. He's now a former Georgia receiver. He's a former Cal Golden Bear receiver as well. He announced about a month ago jumping into the portal. Demetrius Robertson, here's what I know. He can run fast in a straight line. Here's what I also know, that he can be productive at the college level because I saw it happen. If we go back to February of 2016, he was a five-star recruit coming out of Savannah, Georgia. I believe he went to a private school down there, I think. And so he's a five-star. He and hey, Dan, do you remember who the other five-star similar athlete coming out of Georgia was that year?
Was it LeCount?
Yeah, Mecole Hardman.
Oh, wow.
Weren't he and Mecole? And Mecole's already got a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
So you talk about five stars shoulder to shoulder, and Demetrius Robertson signs about 3 months after signing day, goes out to Cal and catches 50 passes as a freshman. He is a freshman All-American in 2016. Then he didn't play in 17 because of an injury. Then he transferred to Georgia and didn't catch any passes in 2018. He caught 30 passes in 19, caught 12 last year. He had 50 as a true freshman. He's caught 42 passes in the 4 years since then, and he has won the magic year of eligibility, and he will go to Auburn for it, he has announced. How will he fit in at Auburn? He won't fit in at Auburn. He's going to start. And he would have had a hard time being more than just in the rotation. Like, Kyaris Jackson's going to play. Jermaine Burton, if he's healthy, he's going to play. Eric Gilbert, he's playing. And I'm talking about the guys who are going to line up off the line of scrimmage. Demetrius Robertson was going to be in the mix to spell those guys and then also be kind of that fourth receiver. At Auburn, I mentioned it a couple of days ago, Hal Presley, who decided after 10 minutes, he's like, yeah, I don't want to be here. He's a three-star receiver from Texas. He announced, I'm going back to Baylor. And Godspeed, young man. But I brought up, I was like, Auburn has achieved an almost impossible status. How are you short on receivers in the SEC, especially if you're Auburn? For whatever it's worth, they got Demetrius Robertson. And again, he's a guy who can play. He just hasn't been doing a whole lot of it. He would have been in the mix at Georgia, my opinion, as he starts. Headline, more Southeastern Conference transfers. Headline, former Missouri corner transfers to Texas State. That would be redshirt sophomore corner Chris Mills. He was a three-star a couple years back. He's from Converse, Texas, and he's going back home. He's going to have up to three seasons of eligibility. He will figure prominently as a defensive back, I promise you, in San Marcos. Consider yourself up to date. There was one more thing I wanted to mention quickly. The Florida Panthers, they're a hockey team in the NHL. The Florida Panthers have become the, to everybody else's knowledge, the first professional sports franchise with plans to sign college athletes as spokespeople. They haven't done that yet. They said it's allowable now. It's legal. I'm not going to jeopardize anybody's eligibility, but we are in the research stage. We're going to go ahead and let everybody know. We're looking for area college athletes who can help our marketing. Florida Panthers, bottom line is we want to get more people through the turnstiles. That's it. And so we are analyzing, just like we do everything, what would be the business return if we invested in this player, this player, this player as marketing reps. And so there's going to be some – I tell you what, there were two stipulations that the NCAA gave. You cannot pay someone to attend your school, and you cannot pay someone for production on the field. All around the Miami program right now, there are already announced in-place cash awards for signing a scholarship at Miami. Not directly. Oh, you signed? Here's $6,000. It's, oh, you signed? Well, now that you're a scholarship player, you're just like everybody else. You get $500 a month if you choose to endorse us. I think most college players would go, yeah, that sounds good to me. What's the product again? So, Miami, I'm telling you. That's that. It is, here's $5,000. Oh, I'm sorry, $6,000 a year if you attend Miami. $6,000 a year just to come play football here. You remember the big kerfuffle about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago? Georgia was one of the first schools to do this because it was Mark Richt, and he was always ahead of the game when it comes to treating people right. But it, you know, all right, we'll define that. What is treating people right? Treating people right about 6, 7 years ago, do you remember one of the issues? We're going to guarantee four-year scholarships. We're gonna commit to the kids. You know what happened right after that? Kids started bolting after one spring practice. It was this huge deal for schools to say, and we will commit to you for 4 years. Now, just a few years later, I don't know if there's a lot of interest in kids. Hey, I want to make sure I can keep this scholarship for 4 years. No, I may want to bounce around. Be like Demetrius Robertson, play at Cal, Georgia, and Auburn.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
If we DeLorean back to, oh, Gosh, I'll say maybe the 2008 season. Maybe it was. At SEC Media Days, maybe it was the year before that, it was the early 00s, and Phil Fulmer walks in. And I don't know Phil Fulmer, but he recognized me. So as he's sitting down, he's like, "You want to ask me about the hot seat?" And I said, "I actually don't think you're on the hot seat. I think now it's Tuberville's turn." And he kind of laughed. He was like, "Really? Well, good for him." I said, "He can have it." Because Fulmer had been on the hot seat for about 3-4 years. I don't know that there's anybody on the hot. I don't know that there's one coach who will walk into Hoover, Alabama in 2 weeks. I don't know if there's one coach who will walk in with actual hot seat talk. Like, "Kirby, do you have to win a national title this year?" "Well, I want to." But hot seat is you'll be fired if you don't. Kirby ain't getting fired. Want to head out now to a guy who covers all the SEC teams. He does the games. He is a play-by-play announcer extraordinaire. It is Mike Morgan from the SEC Network. What's up, brother?
What is up, Chuck?
Can I ask you right now, is it possible for you to even quantify how different your outlook towards this season is versus 12 months ago right now? Because I'm gonna give a little insight. Mike and I, we used to be in the profession where you had to kill something, drag it back to the cave, as I said. If you didn't work, you didn't get paid. you had advanced past that, but it still was a shaky time a year ago for a guy who makes his living calling games.
Yeah, no, it was, and you're right. I mean, I was in a fortunate situation where being full-time, you know, still got compensated, even though, you know, I missed basketball postseason. I missed an entire baseball season. Yeah. You know, and just some ancillary things you do on the side. Obviously, all those fell by the wayside during COVID.
Yeah, there are no speaking engagements for, you know, Bank of America or whoever.
No, none of that. And then even, you know, the games that I did, most were on site. A couple were remote. But everything was different. You know, we're in a Zoom universe now, and I'm not sure if that's going to change, even without COVID. We had little to no crowds. I mean, doing a game in the swamp in front of 8,000 people, a conference game, that was hard getting used to. Everything was just off last year, which I think breeds more excitement for this year. I sense a little something different just doing some shows the last few weeks on satellite radio. There's a different vibe. People realized, you never take it for granted how much you love college football, but when you have a year like last year, I think you really appreciate full-fledged college football even more than ever. And I'll just say this quickly on your point, because I happened to be talking about it yesterday. Think about if lightning struck the same spot like 5 consecutive days, just in like some freakish occurrence. Chances are, you know, after another couple weeks of no lightning, it's not going to strike there again for a while. That's how I look at the SEC coaching situation and why no one's on the hot seat, because you had 8 guys get fired in 2 years.
Yes.
So you're not going to fire unless you have like a Willie Taggart type of just abomination. You're not going to fire a coach within 2 years. So those 8 guys are safe. And then you've got legends at the top, like a Nick Saban and to a lesser extent Jimbo. So then it's and Ed Orgeron just won a national title a couple of years ago. So who could you possibly put on the hot seat? That's what makes this year really unusual in the SEC. I don't think anybody's on the hot seat.
And let me ask you about like Beamer and Heupel, for instance. Is there a year zero for them? Like, given what they walked into, none of their own doing. I mean, I don't think a lot of fan bases after, you know, what the pandemic and last year was, I don't think a lot of fan bases care about context, but there should be a year zero for a couple of guys.
Well, yeah, and it's not just the pandemic for those two situations. It's what they're inheriting. The Will Muschamp era started off strong, ended in a disaster in Columbia. Tennessee, take your pick of which disaster you'd like to choose, which coach AD combo disaster would you like to choose when you're analyzing what Josh Heupel's walking into. So I think both those guys and their fan bases are going to get the benefit of the doubt in the first couple of years. After that, it becomes cutthroat like it is everywhere else. But I think you got to give both of them some time where they're at.
You know, I asked a question as a couple of months ago. I said, the 5-year grad of any SEC program, what is his or her life like as that? And I would say, like the 5-year grad out of Tennessee? he or she, their entire knowledge of Tennessee, it's not national champions or we should have won the Heisman or whatever. It's dysfunction. Like, that's basically your entire fan resume, because if you're 27, 28, and you go back to, you know, 20 years when you first start paying attention to it, you started with Phil Fulmer on the hot seat, and then he's fired, and then Derek Dooley, and then, like, I mean, it's been nothing but dysfunction.
Well, it has. I mean, it's kind of like if you talk to the five-year Gator grad that was there 06 to 2010, you saw two natties in basketball and two natties in football under Urban Meyer. Then the kid that went there the 5 years afterward thinking, okay, I'm going to get my championship T-shirts in advance. No, you're not, because you got Will Muschamp and then you got Jim McElwain. So Tennessee has been like that for a decade and a half. I mean, it's amazing. And I feel like you and I, you know, we're not that old, but we could say we were old enough to remember when Tennessee was really good, and you could kind of set your watch to the fact that they were always going to be in the hunt for 10 wins, and very often in the hunt for an SEC championship and sometimes a national championship. And all of that has just been completely wiped off the board.
Dude, you...
And now they would just settle for, like, a lack of dysfunction, competitive in the East, and nothing to be embarrassed about, and getting the recruiting rolling again. Look, I think eventually it's going to happen there. I think Tennessee is a national program. I just think it's been run in the worst possible way during that stretch. I don't know if Heupel's the guy or not. I'm not even going to wager a guess. I thought it was a rather nonplus hire. But it doesn't mean it's not going to work. But I certainly wouldn't be, you know, walking around with my chest out like, oh, clearly this is a slam dunk hire. How could Josh Heupel not work? Very easily, actually.
Yeah, my wife was up there working like emergency game day services, and there was an EMS there who was not a football fan, and she's like early 20s, and she looked at my wife, she's like, why are there so many seats in the stadium? And like, she had no idea. Like, you know, if you go to, you know, Davis Wade or someplace with 60 whatever thousand and it's kind of full, you put 60,000 in Neyland, it doesn't look too good. Wrapping up with Mike Morgan from the SEC Network, let's bounce back over to Columbia. And I know everything is organic and breathing and it changes and all that, but as long as Dabo and Clemson are Dabo and Clemson, can Shane Beamer really succeed?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, they're not going to be a national power anytime soon, which is what Dabo and Clemson are. But I don't think the most realistic of Gamecock fans is expecting that right off the bat. If you lose the upper hand in that rivalry, so be it. They've lost that a while ago. What they need to do is get back to where they're winning 7-8 games on the reg and then have a breakthrough season or spurt like Spurrier did. People also forget Steve Spurrier, 2005, he got the job. 05 through 09, they were extremely mediocre. And a lot of people, quite frankly, thought, Steve ain't going to work in Columbia. Well, obviously they were wrong, because then all of a sudden this incredible glut of in-state talent came through. Alshon, Lattimore, Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, there's like 10 guys, Stephon Gilmore, and they all went to Carolina. So you get three consecutive 11-win seasons, and now you set the bar higher. But the problem was it wasn't set up for long-term success. Steve saw it was sinking, got off the Titanic, left a bit of a mess for Will Muschamp, and Will didn't take the baton any farther. So I think Gamecock fans would be happy to just start going 7-5, start going 8-4, be more competitive in the league, go to bowl games, win some bowl games, and then you can worry about Clemson once you get to that point. Right now, Clemson is in another area code in terms of where that program is compared to where Carolina is.
Friend, I appreciate you making time. We will do it again in person soon, I'm confident.
I hope so. Look forward to it.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon. Mike Morgan from the SEC Network, from ESPN, et cetera, and he's always in Birmingham. We will sit down with him again in a couple of weeks, I am certain. But he and Tom Hart and everybody from the SEC Network, look forward to seeing them.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Jake Rowe works for 24/7 Sports. And he covers the Georgia Bulldogs, so I, of course, will begin with a question about the Auburn Tigers. And it's kind of like Jake's turn for this because, you know, whenever there's been a player, like, who was it? Was it Jay Hayes, the defensive end from Notre Dame a couple seasons back that transferred in? I don't think he played much. He didn't contribute a whole lot, but we had a Notre Dame guy on. I was like, hey, tell any Georgia fans what they're getting in Jay Hayes. So we always like to do that. So I want to welcome on Jake Rowe. Jake, you got to tell Auburn fans what they might have in Demetrius Robertson, if you know.
Well, I know they're going to have a wonderful human being on their roster. You know, I tweeted after he left Georgia, I'm always going to be a fan. I like that kid so much. He's a really good person. He's affable. He's gutsy. I mean, you know, he goes that 2018 season at Georgia, doesn't catch a single football, and he sits right there in the Sugar Bowl locker room after a loss and takes every question. Some of them probably asked to him a dozen times and answers them over and over and does it in a classy way. He was fun to cover. Always enjoyed whenever I had to go be around him at a track meet or anything just because he's just such a good kid. And so they're going to get that for sure. And they're going to get a guy with some upside. I mean, listen, he had a really good spring game at Georgia. He had a really good spring at Georgia. He's fast. He's got good size. I think he's probably learned a lot over the past few years. I think he might have been a little bit buried at Georgia with how they recruited the receiver position. And if he can stay healthy, and I'm not talking about if he can avoid the big injury. I'm talking about if he can stay 100% healthy and avoid the hamstring issues and the strained calf. And
just the stuff that limits you on a Saturday.
Help him out. Exactly. I think he'll help him out. I really do. And, you know, I'm definitely rooting for him. I hope he does really well there.
All right, well, let's talk about Georgia then. And I can't believe I'm saying this because, like, I remember the first time I saw George Pickens. I mean, literally, I was like, oh, my Lord. Who made him? What lab did he come out of? And we saw that you know, he's shown the ability. You know, Sugar Bowl was one of those games, et cetera. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm not even really thinking about him in any way for the Georgia picture in 2021, and it doesn't distress me.
Yeah, you know, I do think that speaks to how Georgia had recruited the receiver position a couple cycles in a row. You know, finding A.D. Mitchell like they did and him having the spring that he had certainly helps things. Getting Eric Gilbert as a transfer certainly helps things because he's going to be a receiver at Georgia primarily. I'm sure they're going to do some special things with him in terms of his size, but you know, I think Georgia's good at the receiver position. I think they're very good. Kyaris Jackson emerging last year calms those concerns. Jermaine Burton's raw talent. And listen, if George Pickens was 100% healthy, I think he would be Georgia's leading receiver.
I
still think of Jermaine Burton as the most dynamic weapon that Georgia has at receiver because he's got good size, not great, but good. He's fast. He's run after the catch. He can separate before the catch. He can beat you deep. He can create big plays with short throws. He can take a reverse for a big play. You know, I still think he is the guy that all-around upside is probably a little bit greater than Pickens. I just don't know that he, as a sophomore, was going to be what George Pickens was going to be as a junior. But I will say this about George Pickens. I know a lot of people think, well, he would be foolish to, you know, go back on the field. He needs to train and get ready for the NFL draft. And I really very much disagree with that. I mean, I think George is a fantastic talent, but whether quarterback issues, whether it was injury issues, whether it was some immaturity issues, George was inconsistent. And there were, you know, I think close to half of his games at Georgia, he had two or fewer catches. And so I think that he would do well and Georgia would do well for him to come back at some point this year if he can. But I also think that Georgia's going to be okay. I just don't think that they're, you know, the depth gets shallower when you lose a guy like that, because you lose him. All right, now your margin for error is a lot less. You really need to keep Jermaine Burton and Kyaris Jackson and Eric Gilbert and Arian Smith and those guys healthy.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because as you were talking there, you know, I always say my phrase is, you don't get better by losing somebody like this, but how well prepared are you to make up for it? And so you don't get better by losing a talent like Pickens. But as you're talking there, I realize I want it to turn out for him like it did for A.J. Green, not like Doriel Green Beckham, who, you know, you get a receiver who shows up in college and he's like, okay, I got this gamed. I can play this game. And then they don't get any better. They don't have that dog in them. When you're talking about Jermaine Burton, he's got dog in him.
He really does. He's a guy, you know, there are some guys you can watch. Knowshon Moreno is a good example, where when you watch him play, you're like, golly, he's playing hard. Like, you can just see it. You can just see kind of that extra level of intensity. And that's what I see when I see Jermaine Burton play. There's an angriness to kind of how he runs the football and how he snatches it out of the air. And that's what I really like about him. And, you know, you're looking at Mississippi State game last year and some of the things he was able to do, some of the tough catches he was able to come down with. He missed some last year, and that's going to happen with a young receiver. But, you know, that run after catch ability is huge with me. I think that's huge in college football now. Is, you know, George Pickens, he can run after the catch pretty well too, but not quite to the level that a guy like Jermaine Burton can do. And I think he's the kind of guy that's a threat to rip off 30, 40, 50 yards, no matter where he catches the ball on the field.
All right. After the Chick-fil-A Bowl, when I was doing color on the game, and I admit it, I was like, I hadn't had two thoughts about Arian Smith this entire season. And I was like, all right, who's that? He's the fastest player on the team. And a buddy of mine who follows Georgia is like, no, he's not. Talk about Arian Smith and what his role may be, because I know he can take the top off the defense, but tell me about the rest of his game.
Well, I do believe he's the fastest player on the team.
Okay.
I think he's probably, you know, one of the top two or three fastest players in college football. I mean, this is an All-American track guy, a college All-American track guy. Okay. So this guy can fly. His issue is going to be staying healthy, and that's been a problem for him at Georgia. You know, he broke his wrist or I don't know if he broke it, but at least severely sprained his wrist this spring and had to play with a cast in the G-Day game, and I had the knee injuries last year. I think if he stays healthy, he's a guy. He's more than a gadget guy. He's got some quickness to him. He's fast. He's got good length. You know, he's not one of these. You're not looking at a sprinter guy with sprinter speed that's 5'10" here. I mean, this is a 6'+ type guy with long arms who I think can really help Georgia. And I think he kind of changes, you know, if you get him and an Eric Gilbert on the field at the same time, it changes how you're able to defend Eric Gilbert, because, you know, you've got to account for Arian Smith's ability to take the top off the defense. And that's something quite frankly, Georgia has missed, you know, probably since the days when Malcolm Mitchell was really good, when Malcolm Mitchell was these explosive.
Pre-injury.
And he was still explosive. Yeah, pre-injury. He was still pretty explosive, but at the end of the day, he didn't really have much help around him. I think Arian Smith has the kind of talent and around him and the kind of talent within himself to kind of create a ripple effect and opportunities for those talent around him.
Yeah, I can never keep it straight whether it was Brandon Boykin or Brandon Smith or both of them played offense. But, I mean, that kind of speed where you're like – and I've always described it, Jake, as it's the ultimate contradiction in football. I remember doing East Carolina games when – you remember Chris Johnson, the running back, was there. I was like,
yeah,
you're too scared to get close to him, because if you miss, it's not a first down. It's 6 points. And so you slow play. Every time you get near that kid, you just break down and you're like, all right, wait a minute. I want to give my teammates a second to get here. That speed, you're right, it changes everything, and it's what you can do off of it.
Yeah, and you know, even more so than what you can do in the passing game, I think it can impact the run game too, because, you know, if you've got to leave two safeties back, then All of a sudden, Georgia's got a hat on a hat, and then you got Zamir White and James Cook and Kendall Milton. I don't think they've got a Nick Chubb or a Sony Michel or a Todd Gurley or anybody like that, but they've got some guys that when Georgia can get a hat on a hat, when Georgia has a box advantage, they can really take advantage of it. Guys like Arian Smith really help out with that.
Row247, follow him on Twitter. Question about the secondary quickly. Everybody knows Kelee Ringo might have been the number one corner in America, five-star, et cetera. There was a talent vacuum leaving Athens, and I was expecting like Nylon Green, Jalen Kimber, some of these guys to emerge. Can that still happen, or did they kind of check the boxes with transfers?
No, they've got to figure out another cornerback position, and it's going to be a wild fist fight for that cornerback position because Amir Speed and Jalen Kimber and Nylon Green and Kelee Ringo, all of those guys are going to duke it out for that cornerback spot opposite of Darian Kendrick. And, I think Darian Kendrick is almost certainly going to be a starter. You can't manufacture that experience. And they've got some really talented guys with a lot of tools. They're going to have to grow up and get better quickly. And what I'm really interested to see, Chuck, is when preseason camp starts, Kelee Ringo went over a year without putting on pads and playing football. He had a chance to do that this spring. He's getting healthier every day, further removed from that labrum injury. What's he going to look like to start preseason camp? Because he's got the talent to kind of run away with it.
All right. Lavoisier Carroll, is he going to stay over there? Or was that just a, hey, we need a body for spring?
No, I don't think that was just a we need a body for spring type thing. I think they had so much depth at running back.
Okay.
I would be surprised if Lavoisier Carroll didn't stay at cornerback at least through this season, because I think if you don't leave him there through the season, you've kind of been unfair to him. The transition back to running back is nowhere near as tough as cornerback, but I think if you leave him there, scout team him, give him third team reps and figure it out, then you can figure out, hey, are you able to play this position long term? Because let's look at the numbers, Chuck. That cornerback money and the number of guys at cornerback that get taken in the top 50 picks is greater than running backs normally. And then you get to that second contract, it blows it out of the water. So it's, if you got a guy like Lavoisier Carroll who has potential at corner, he'd do well to stay there and try to learn the position, because his long-term future, the dollars could be greater at that spot.
Yeah, and what you're describing, help me remember, was it Richard Samuel? Was that the running back that kept like ping-ponging, like one day he's a linebacker, literally the next day in practice he's a running back again?
Yeah, I don't know if it was that flip of, switch flippy. I don't know if it was that big, but ultimately I think that one just kind of came down to it was tough to find a spot for him. He was a physical freak that didn't necessarily fit on the football field like they wanted to, but found a way to help Georgia win a big game.
Missouri, wasn't it like a punt block or something?
He stopped a block punt, but he stopped a fake punt, but he had that little flurry of runs in 2011 against Florida at the end of that game.
That's
to kind of save that one for Georgia.
Yeah, I think I love when – I want every kid to get his moment, to have that one day at least. And when you're bouncing between positions like that, it's hard to get any traction, man. Jake, that was a great conversation, brother. I appreciate your time.
Hey, man, thanks for having me, buddy.
All right, Jake Rowe from 24/7. Yeah, it was Richard Samuel, and he was like a four-star recruit, and he was a running back. And they realized he's not really instinctive. And what is running back? It's the most instinctive position on the field. But what happens on Friday night? When you look like a guy like Richard Samuel, you don't have to be instinctive on Fridays. You just run over people. And so he gets to Georgia, and now it's the SEC. And it's like, well, we're going to get you on the field because you're just too – you're good at something, we know. And so he played some linebacker. And then he played running back, and he played linebacker, and then he played special teams. And I remember whatever it was, the first SEC game ever at Como – he made a play on a punt. That's all I remember. And then against Arkansas, he had a real long run. Like, he and Joe Cox tore up Arkansas one night. But the kid comes in as this huge recruit, and it literally comes down to so many kids. He got like two moments or three moments. And that's two or three more than a lot of kids. So Lavoisier Carroll, I'm just kind of wondering what happens to him, because he was a big-time recruit, four-star recruit at running back, and then, boom, we need you to go play corner. He's right. If it was just, hey, we're going to use you to help us get through spring, well, then you lost an opportunity to get better at running back. So you at least want to give him a season if you're going to switch it over there, if you think there is potential. So I'm telling you, linebacker in Athens the past couple of years, it's been Hunger Games. It's been, all right, I got nine of you. There's football equipment for four of you at the 50. Go get it. It's going to be that in the secondary. And they lost so much talent to the NFL, to Miami, to wherever anybody else transferred. They lost a lot of talent, and they're going to be spilling over in the secondary this year.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
He's the best quarterback in the SEC coming into this year when you factor in the mobility as well. And I think people hold those two games, the 5-interception game and the 6-interception game, against him. But that dude is a gamer. And he will, even in those moments when he's having his just terrible days, is still believing that he can make that game-winning pass.
Connor Aguero, Saturday Down South, talking about Matt Corral. I had asked Connor about Corral gets dinged a little bit in public opinion, and I believe in ballots come this summer, maybe even this postseason. He gets dinged a little bit. It's just kind of the way they play. Or they're going to be in shootouts, so of course he's got to throw it. Or the worst, and this is kind of a combination of all of it, that he's a system guy. Well, he's just system quarterback. That's that Lane Kiffin system. I will tell you that in college, virtually every quarterback who starts in FBS is a system quarterback. In the NFL, do you know why you have never heard the phrase system quarterback applied to an NFL QB? Because in the NFL, essentially all 32 teams do the same stuff. Andy Reid calls more screen passes. I don't know. Mike Tomlin likes to throw deep. Whatever. There are some individual differences. But as far as, like, offenses, there's basically one offense. And so quarterbacks are sort of interchangeable. We can get that guy? Heck yeah. Folks, the 12 games that your team will play this fall, assuming that happens, yay. I bet you there'll be 9 different offenses. Every quarterback in college is a system quarterback. I promise you it's true. You'll see wishbone, you'll see wing, you'll see direct snap, you'll see shotgun, you'll see spread, you'll see all of it. Across 12 games, you'll see 9 or 10 different offenses. That's just what it is. So appreciate Connor coming on again from Saturday Down South. If you've been watching on Twitch TV today, we're on 9 states, 51 radio stations. We're also on Twitch TV every day. Then you see I've been wearing my Sports Card Investor t-shirt. And I'm loose. There you go, Sports Card Investor. I did want to give a little PSA, a little public service, a little announcement today. And that's because a lot of listeners know that I'm into the collectibles and card market and all that. It's just something I really enjoy and have since second grade. But I do want to give some advice because I've had a lot of folks I don't know that either tweet or email or whatever asking about, you know, with football season starting, because that's what we talk on this show. What about the new players? What are the best cards to get? And somebody had sent me several scans of Trevor Lawrence cards and a Kyle Pitts card and some Justin Fields cards as well. And I, to him and anyone else, I would say wait until the cards come out that actually have the player in his NFL uniform. I promise you, just wait until that happens when those cards come out. And if you want to, like I said, Sports Card Investor, you can go online, you can go to the YouTube channel as well. There's a lot of preview for these cards and, you know, the pending releases and what the market may do, et cetera. Get a lot more information from Jeff Wilson, the Sports Card Investor, again, YouTube, et cetera. But it just across the broad view, the flyover, don't buy football cards until it's the officially licensed card of him in his NFL uniform. You don't want necessarily Trevor Lawrence in the Clemson uniform with the solid orange on the side because they don't have a logo on it. So you want it to be licensed in the NFL uniform. I'm going to count that as my closing argument today. Brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shannara, and Associates. Wherever you are in the Deep South, doesn't matter if it's Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, wherever, if you need legal expertise, you need Alexander Schnarr and Associates. What up, Dan?
That just reminds me. I need to find where my binders are of all those cards that I have from when I was a kid. But then again, you've already quashed my dreams before because you told me basically what? Was it after 1986? Was that the
You got about a 15-year window, and then you got a chance for the cards to be valuable again.
Yeah, real quick before I get to the point that I was going to have today is the most humbling experience I think I ever had in my life involved a baseball card. Remember that Team USA Mark McGwire card?
Oh, 1985, yeah, with right. Him in the red jersey.
Exactly, and how during the home run chase that was the card to have. I remember we went to the TriStar Collectors show.
It was a huge show in Houston.
Absolutely. At the Astro Hall, which was the convention space that was right across from the Astrodome. And me and my buddy, 13, 14 years old, we're thinking, oh, we've got this place figured out. Absolutely. We're going to sell this thing. We're going to be able to buy a new PlayStation 2 at the time. All that kind of stuff. We go there. Every single dealer was like pulling out shelves and being like, yeah, I got about 5 or 7 of these things.
Yeah, it was an investment card from back in 85, and it was Billy Swift and B.J. Surhoff and all of them that wound up on that card, including Mark McGwire. Now, the good thing is if you did sell it then, you probably sold high in 98, 99, 2000, et cetera. What up, Dan?
So, again, yeah, like I said, a humbling experience. To expand on your point that you just brought up there about, you know, the different offenses and how everything is a system now is because, Chuck, I would say more than any other time that it is truly a player's game when it comes to quarterbacks and it comes to offenses in this game. Gone are the days of, I'm going to just throw out a name, of remembering when Greg Davis and Texas tried to make the move from what they were doing, which at the time they were ahead of their time in terms of the passing game, the spread, all the different types of stuff that they were doing with Colt McCoy. And they said, well, the things that those guys over in Tuscaloosa are doing, because they remember back in 2009, they got absolutely beaten up front by Alabama in that game. And I think at that point, Mac Brown said, this is the game. This is the game that we have to play. I've got to get better. The problem was he tried to just say, hey, we're going to go this pro-style I formation system. I don't have the guys in order to be able to fit this. Now, the game and the numbers and the money are so much in terms of these schools when they hire an offensive coordinator or they hire a quarterback guru or whatever it might be. It's the hell you mean you can't be able to fit what this guy does? That's what we pay you to do. We're not paying you $500,000 for him to fit you. We're paying you $500,000 to fit him.
I've always said you get hired. Any offensive coach, but certainly a QB coach or the play caller or the OC, first question is, where's the quarterback? All right, what do you do well? Because while we're in this relationship for another year or two or three, or maybe you transfer, but as long as we're in this relationship, I need to know what you do well. I'll get to what I do well when I get my guys. Absolutely true about that. All right, wraps it up on Thursday, folks. Thank you for getting in for these 2 hours. Give me 22. Recharge the batteries. I'll be back for another 2 hours of college football conversation tomorrow right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. An easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.